The gospel is often most potent when it sets our imaginations on fire, when we can see ourselves as those who encounter Jesus might have seen themselves, when we take their places, walk in their shoes, explore the peculiarities of their stories. In most of Jesus' encounters with others in Mark's gospel, we get just a spare outline of the story. But we're given enough to imagine what a fuller telling might have looked like. So today, I want to share a telling of today's gospel story from the point of view of this determined Syrophoenician mother who manages to do what no other person in Mark's gospel is able to do: stand toe to toe with Jesus and not blink. A reading from Mark 7. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Our daughter's troubles, our troubles started 2 years ago. It was harvest time, and we were working in the fields, the three of us, me and my husband and our daughter, Shira. Shira had always been with us during harvest. When she was a baby, I carried her on my back, and as she grew, she learned with other children how to keep herself occupied while we parents worked at cutting and binding the stalks of grain, loading them onto the field wagon and carting them to the threshing floor. By the time she was 8, she could tie the sheaves, and in her 10th summer, her father taught her how to hitch the mule to the wagon and lead them through the fields to collect the gathered grain. She had a way with that old mule, Shira did. He never seemed to rebel against her gentle musical voice. We'd been working the fields from sunup to sundown for 6 days running, and harvest was nearly done. That night, she hadn't eaten much at dinner, so I told her to lie down. When I checked on her an hour or so later, her temperature was up and I could see dark circles forming under her eyes. A sponge bath brought some relief. Then I helped her change into her night clothes and I tucked her in. "You'll feel better in the morning, dear one," I told her. It was a lie. When I rose in the night to check on her, she wasn't in her bed. I called for her, but there was no answer. In a panic, I shook my husband awake, and we stumbled outside. The moon was bright that night. I remember the strange dance our shadows made as we raced from place to place, searching frantically, calling her name. Then we found her. She was in the chicken coop, sitting in the corner. Her clothes were in shreds. Bloody scratch marks covered her face, her arms, her legs. She had soiled herself. And worst of all, the gaze that met ours cut us to the quick, because her eyes were vacant, not a shred of recognition in them. We called her name and we bent to lift her, but she screamed bloody murder. What had happened to our little girl? Well, that was over 2 years ago now, and so little has changed. Getting food into her, keeping her from hurting herself, it's a full-time chore. At first, the neighbors helped us out as they were able. But when they reached the conclusion that the sweet little girl that they'd known was never coming back, they slowly began withdrawing and turned away. What little money we had, we used on physicians, but they did her no good. a demon, they'd say. What were we to do? We were at our wits' end. Well, that's when I heard about him for the first time. A Jewish healer, a holy man from Galilee, named Jesus. I was in Tyre for market and overheard two Jewish women speak of him as I sold them my eggs. So it's true? I asked. This man is a healer. Oh, yes, the one said. Son of David, some call him. He's made many well, even healed some lepers, from what my cousin said. His son's a follower. I don't suppose he'd ever come out this way, I asked, my mind circling around this news. One never knows, the other responded. They say he's got a mind of his own. Galilee was a good 3 or 4 days' journey from Tyre, and even farther up, as far as the religion is concerned. Hardly the place for a Jewish holy man from Galilee. Yet, as they spoke, a flutter of hope touched my heart for the first time in many moons. In the weeks that followed, I slept poorly. My dreams were dark, my emotions up and down. I kept up my routines, eager to give myself to anything I could that would keep despair at bay. At long last, another market day rolled around, and rising early, I gathered my goods, kissed our daughter, and headed for Tyre, leaving her in my husband's care. It was about mid-morning when one of the women I'd met before came to my cart looking for her eggs. "Where's your friend?" I asked, eager to strike up a conversation. "Oh, her. She has a guest. I'm shopping for both of us today." Her words were carefully measured and oddly weighted. She was hiding something. "Greet her for me," I said, "and here, take an extra egg for her guest." Our eyes met. "Thank you," she nodded, and then added, I'm going there now." Well, whether she intended her comment as an invitation or not, I don't know, but that's how I took it. As soon as she left, I closed my cart and hurried to follow her, keeping a safe distance until some blocks later. I watched her knock at a door and enter. My heart was beating fast now as I half ran, half walked to the home, and standing before the door, I composed myself, and then I knocked. When the door opened, it was the other woman, the absent one, who appeared. When she saw who I was, a look of surprise crossed her face, and then it hardened into resistance. But before she could say anything, I blurted out, "Did you get your eggs?" "Eggs? Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Thank you," she replied, somewhat softer. Our eyes locked in an awkward silence. Finally, I spoke. "He's here, isn't he?" "Who?" she asked. "The man from Galilee." Unable to deny it, she stared at me, declaring with sudden finality, "You must go," and she began to shut the door. Instinctively, I thrust my foot in the door, and finding my voice, I cried, "I must see him, my daughter! Have mercy on me, Lord!" I shouted through the crack in the door, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Please help me." Quick as a flash, the woman's husband was at the door. "Quiet," he hissed. "You're disturbing the master. Woman, go away." But the memory of Shira's smiling face just filled my mind, and wedging my shoulder in the door, I shouted all the more, "Jesus, sir, please. Have mercy! Have mercy!" Finally, he came. When the door opened, I fell to my knees and I put my face to the ground and I begged him. I was the wrong gender, the wrong race, the wrong religion, but none of that mattered. Only Shira. "Lord, my daughter, help me." The children he began in a voice at once weary and firm, that the children should be fed first. It's not fair to take food that belongs to the children and throw it to the dogs. So, I thought, I am a dog then. Well, so be it. That may be true, sir, I said, lifting my eyes. But even dogs under the table long for the children's crumbs. Where these words came from, I have no idea. They just came tumbling out, and suddenly the whole house was enveloped in silence. Woman, he said at last. Woman, for saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. I was speechless. I couldn't say anything. Not even a thank you escaped my lips. I just stepped backwards, out of the door, turned, and started for home. The closer I got, the more my stomach threatened to take flight. The small flutter of hope that I'd felt at first was turning into a great winged bird. When I reached the corner, I could see them sitting in front of our home. She poised calmly on her father's lap, gazing intently at his large, callous hands like a fortune teller. Shira, I shouted. Darling! Our eyes met. Mama! She sang as she sprung off her father's lap, and she ran to me. Between the hugs and the tears, Shira told me she'd been worrying about me so. Where had I been? Well, I've been to the city to meet a man, a very special man, I told her. And did you meet him? She asked, her clear eyes intently probing mine. Yes. Oh, yes, I met him. And someday, perhaps, someday, you will meet him too.